Ever spend time trying to figure out what God's up to?
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
Foundations for Living is the radio ministry of Van Buren United Methodist Church and is underwritten by our friends at Fincan and Ford in Hartford City. We are happy you tuned in, and we invite you to be our guest as we listen to Reverend Cindy Osgood, pastor of Van Buren United Methodist Church, and we explore together Foundations for Living.
Good morning. Welcome to the Van Buren United Methodist Church.
I want you to think about if you've ever encountered a burning bush in your life. Did you just walk by it and ignore it? Or did you run away from it thinking it would catch you on fire? Or did you stop and take notice of it and wonder what that was about? Perhaps it might have been God trying to get your attention and to tell you that he was still in charge of the world and that he was still the I Am of the world. Today we're going to talk about the I Am and the I will be who I will be. And certainly in the world in which we live today, we need to be reminded that the I Am is still the great I Am. Let's join together as we sing for worship this morning.
His name is wonderful, Jesus.
Gracious God, we're glad that we're here today and you were here waiting for us this morning, and we are standing on holy ground because you are here and you are with us everywhere. And you have been with us throughout all generations, and you will continue to remain with us throughout the generations ahead of us. We just pray now that as we come together for worship, that you will present yourself to us in some way. Perhaps it won't be a burning bush, but might we be reminded of those places where you have appeared before us and you have tried to get our attention and we've failed to look and listen. Help us to be aware and alert this morning, to be aware in the future of those places that you call to us from, for you're calling to us today to be present, to be available, and to be listening for your presence this morning. We ask and we pray this in your name we pray.
Today's scripture lesson is going to start in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 7 through 8. And then I'm going to move to the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, starting in Hebrews. Remember your leaders who have spoken God's word to you. Think about how their lives turned out and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is why God has given him an exceptional honor, the name honored above all other names, so at the name of Jesus, everyone in heaven, on earth, and in the world below will kneel and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
We turn to the book of Exodus, a story that you have heard from your youth, from your childhood, I'm sure, and we hear of Moses this day. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in the flame of fire out of a bush. And Moses looked, and the bush was blazing, and yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that Moses had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." And then God said, "Come closer. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And God said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry and on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me, and I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He said, "I will be there with you. And this shall be a sign for you that it is I who sent you when you have brought the people out of Egypt. You shall worship God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob, has sent me to you. And this is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. I am who I am. When we read the story of Moses and the burning bush, whenever we've probably preached on that, we've focused on the burning bush. We've focused on Moses. But I want us to think this morning about the I am statement. We've also looked at Moses' uncertainty and the fact that he wants a helper. He's asked that, he makes that statement that many of us have made when we've been asked to do something. Why me? Why little old me? I'm not capable of doing that. I remember Moses hadn't exactly had a stellar life prior to this point. He had murdered a man and had run off and now was tending flock for Jethro. But God sees him as someone who is capable of freeing the Israelites. So might that be a reminder to us that when God calls us and says, I have a job for you to do, we need to not shrink back from out of fear or out of uncertainty, but say, yes, Lord, here I am, send me. Though our knees be shaking and our arms be quivering and our thoughts be rambling, be ready to say, here I am. Because God assures us that he will be with us. And I'm sure that the folks in Texas need to be reminded that God is with them. They need to see God's presence in the very presence of all those who go to help. That they see the I Am, the Yahweh God, in the eyes and the touch and the words of those who come alongside them, that they're not walking through this flood by themselves. Well, I want us to think about that statement. I am who I am, or I will be who I will be. For you see, the Egyptians had many gods, and Moses knew that. They prayed to the God of the sun, they prayed to the God of the moon, they prayed to all kinds of things. And if he went to them and said, God has sent me, they are going to say, well, which one have you sent? And he wanted to make sure that they understood that this wasn't just one of their many gods, this was the great God of all gods. Powerful word, but a word that they didn't dare mention because it was so holy and so significant. Yahweh was so sacred that the Hebrews would not even say that word, but instead would use the word Adonai, that being translated Lord, and with the O-R-D written in small capitals when it was used. And one of the Ten Commandments, if you remember later on when Moses goes up to the mountain and is there for a long time and spends time with God and comes down because he needs to rescue the folks from their evil ways and breaks those commandments. But one of those Ten Commandments was that you would not take the name of the Lord God in vain. God's word was that sacred to those in that day. And hopefully it is sacred to us even today. But for them, they didn't use that word because it was so sacred. But we today, as Christians, we ought to use that word often. Not in vain. Not as a matter of common language, but in a way that we use God's name in a powerful way. Use God's name as we call to him in prayer. Use God's name to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. For there will come a time, as Scripture says, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Do we believe that today? Well, this I Am God was describing himself as an eternal and as an unchangeable God. He wouldn't be changed or determined by the wind or by doctrine or by things of daily nature. He would be the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in the midst of the world in which we live today, where there is change going on at all levels, all of our morals, all of our laws, all of our life is dictated by media and by so many other things that things change faster than we can sometimes keep up with them, God does not change. He is faithful unto all generations. And we can find stability and security in that unchanging God that we serve. And because that God is stable and trustworthy and unchanging, we can become a friend to him. He can become our Savior. We can follow him on a regular basis and make him a part of our life rather than trying to figure out what God is up to. Ever spend time trying to figure out what God's up to? I assure you it will be a difficult challenge. Why didn't he send this hurricane? Why is he sending another hurricane? Why do we have things like cancer? Why do we have things like disease? Why do we have things like dementia? Why did my spouse leave me? Why did this happen? Why? God is in the midst of all of those things and remains to be faithful and secure and present and stable. When everything else around us has gone berserk, God remains steadfast. I don't know about you, but that makes me very comfortable. Makes me know that in the midst of difficulty, there is something that I can put my feet on the ground and say, this is rock sure. It's not going anywhere. It's not going to change. You see, God reveals himself and revealed himself to Moses and reveals himself to us in a lot of ways. Think about that rest of the book called Exodus. One of the very first things that God would do to show his power to Moses was he would take that stick that he gave him and say, lay it down on the ground. And Moses watched it literally become a snake before his very eyes. And then Moses said, pick it back up, and it became like a stick again. But it was his stick of dependence that he carried with him, and it was his way of making his way through the world. But he knew that God was capable of changing things and putting things back. God would continue to reveal himself in the promises of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the fact that God had promised that he would give them a good land, a broad land, flowing with food and milk and honey, and it would be there. And it was there. Moses never saw it, except in a vision. At the very end of his life, he never crossed over into it, but it was still available. God didn't back out on his promise. God showed himself in turning water into blood and through those plagues, you remember. Remember that parting of the Red Sea as they crossed over and the Pharaoh's army was tracking them on their heels and the water came up on both sides and they passed through the sea and it came back together just as they were reaching the water and it fell over them. God's power and God's ability to be able to take care of his people. Sometimes it's a strange thing. God freed the Hebrews. Who am I that you're going to send me to the Pharaoh and tell the Pharaoh to let those people go? He's just going to laugh at me. He's just going to laugh at me, but he doesn't. Took 10 plagues, took the loss of his own son, Pharaoh's own son. But finally, Pharaoh got the message, and he let them go, and they were able to move forward out of time of oppression, out of difficulty. God says to us, I will free you from your oppression. I will free you from the bonds of financial struggle. I will free you from the bonds of marital difficulty. I will free you from illness. Now, sometimes that illness may not end on this side. Sometimes that illness may end with our going into the great beyond, into heaven. But God is there working amongst us, and we've seen that. We've seen people who have come beyond illness, have we not? So we know that God is at work. God will continue to free us as he freed those Egyptians. And so God is still speaking to us as he spoke to Moses that day out of a burning bush. My question to you is, what is he saying to you? What is he asking you? What is he using to speak to you? It may not be a burning bush. It may be, maybe it's a good friend who's trying to talk with you and help you to understand something. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's a circumstance. I don't know what it is, but pay attention. Pay attention to what God is sending you and speaking to you through. You see, God has acted in your life. And God is acting in your life. And he will continue to act in your life. And there are people who don't believe that this I am is who I say I am, God. They've not seen anything happen. They don't maybe want to see anything happen. They don't believe that it's even possible. It's just some pie in the sky idea. But you're the one who may be their burning bush. You may be the burning bush that they need to have, that God sends to them. And you speak to them out of the bush. You speak to them about how God is active in your life, how God has been active in your life. What has He done in your life? How is God acting in your life? Maybe you don't have something in your life, but what story in Scripture has spoken to you about how God was active? Maybe it's this story. I mean, that's a pretty amazing story when you think about that God can talk out of a bush and the bush doesn't burn up. Huh? But there are hundreds of other stories, and there are many, many people in the Scripture who weren't always the best characters, but yet God manages to use them and turn them to His direction and bring them His way. So what character have you seen that God has spoken to you out of and talked to you about? I can use you. I can use you like I use David. I can use you like I use Solomon. I can use you like I use Mary. Name 100 others. That may be the way that you help somebody else hear that voice out of the burning bush. Jesus turned that statement around a little bit when he began to talk about the I am. I am the bread of life. I am the gate. I am the shepherd. I am the water of life. Remember, Jesus is also part of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The I am is still the I am. The I will be will continue to be I will be. How is that I am still working in your life this day? Come together today to do great communion. We celebrate around a table that consists of bread, consists of juice. And on that night that Jesus gathered with his closest 12 friends, he took them into that room. They celebrated the Seder meal. And then he said, I want to do something else. He took bread and he broke it and he gave it to them and he said, take and eat and remember, this is my body broken for you. I'll not eat it again until I eat it with you in the kingdom of heaven. But every time you eat this bread, remember who I am. In the same way, after they took the bread, he passed around the cup. He said, take and drink, for this is the cup of salvation poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. And every time you drink this cup, drink it in remembrance of me. And remember who I am. These gifts are a tangible symbol and a reminder to us that the great I am is still acting in our lives. Thank you. as you came in this morning, the great I am came with you. And as you go out the door, the great I am goes with you. And he will remain with you each and every moment. Continue to look for him in the bushes, on the sidewalk, on the streets, on your pathways, so that you might share him with someone who needs to see and encounter the great I am. Amen.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
We want to thank you for being a part of Foundations for Living this morning and remind you that every Sunday morning at 9:30, we meet in the sanctuary at the Van Buren United Methodist Church. We would love to have you come and be a part of us here in Van Buren, or join us on the air again next week with Foundations for Living. Also, you may hear this and other messages on our website at vanburenumc.org.
Elect from every nation, yet one for all the earth. Her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth, one holy name.
You have been listening to Foundations for Living, a presentation of the Van Buren United Methodist Church, underwritten by Finn Cannon Ford of Hartford City.